the day we got born again, we were born into the promised land. You live based on what God has said. You carry it in your spirit. If He has said it, it is true. Your joy, your fulfillment, your mood is independent on happiness. So we don't live based on happiness. We live based on God's will. We live from the inside. Let your heart be established in grace. You are a mobile temple. Prayer is allowed anywhere, anytime. Sito keto, monti kate, rito kopoto keta, zudeke ponde kidede. Christianity is a display of divine essence, true men on earth. You see, when spiritual hunger gains the ascendancy, gains the dominance over your mind, you don't even see anything as sacrifice.
So as you grow spiritually, you generate a potential difference. And that potential difference will bring to you the monies you need, it will bring to you the people you need, it will bring to you the necessary materials you need to fulfill your God-given calling on the earth.
All right, let's do an old tradition. Amen. Say, this is my Bible. Lift it up. Say, this is my Bible. Kiss your Bible and said, I love my Bible. I love my Bible. Hallelujah. Some of you are kissing your phones as well. Say, I love my Bible. I believe that it contains God's word. I believe that God has something in it for me today. And this morning, my heart is open. My mind is alert to receive from God's word. And to hear from God's mouth. This morning, I am attentive to the voice of God's word. And my life will never be the same. By the end of this service, I'll be better than I came in. I'll be more glorious than I came in. I'll be more prosperous than I came in. I'll be more empowered than I came in. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Somebody say amen. All right, it says, and beside this, we started a series we titled Boosting Your Faith for Supernatural Accomplishment. Amen. Has it been a blessing? We say that what we teach is the word of faith, but what comes upon you is the spirit of faith. When you hear certain things, your heart is enlarged. You see, this walk of the spirit is not bone face and it's not flexing muscles. It's about something happening on your inside that effortlessly causes an outward result. Can I get an amen? You know, the way some people try to generate faith, you know, looking at them, you know, they don't understand the dynamics of faith. Amen. So it's an effortless thing. Your major job is to ensure that something has shifted on the inside. Once there's already a shift on the inside, you'll be amazed at the results you produced in the way you think, in the way you talk, in the way you act. And in your outward results. Amen. And that is why we always insist on inside out change. Inside out change. Once your focus is taken from that concept, you will struggle in life. Once you are no more conscious of the concept of inside out change, once you are no more conscious of how God transforms people, how do we have change? God's way, you'll be frustrated, you'll be distracted, you'll be in trouble, you'll be confused, some you'll be offended at God, a lot of sorts of. But the moment you understand that, look, everything I ever need, God will give it to me first on the inside. Everything I'll ever become, everywhere I'll ever go, everything that God wants to do with me, God will first begin it on the inside. Once you settle that in your heart, it will affect your pulses. It will affect how you relate with life, with God, with life, with your destiny. It will affect everything else. But the lack of understanding of these things will cause confusion, frustration. So many Christians are frustrated. They love God genuinely, they are frustrated. And extending in so many humans are frustrated. But they are more frustrated human beings than fulfilled ones. Are you aware? They are more frustrated humans on earth. Can't you see on the road? People are angry. People are angry. They don't, that you've not done. Once in a while, you receive bouts of the anger. Not because you've done anything. You see somebody just angry at you. I am wondering, bros, we are not fighting now. I just sleep. It's coming from somewhere. He's frustrated. This is the answer to a frustrated life. This is God's cure to frustration and God's key to fulfillment. Very important. When God speaks, He speaks in absolutes. You see, one of the things I observed with God, when you study God, you know that the word God is God. What are identified by that is truth. Define them by thy truth. Word is truth.
Something can be true and not right and not true. For example, in a replic or in a democratic system, what is right is what a group of people gather and vote and endorse that is right. So if you go to some states in the U.S., whole America right now, for example, gay marriage is right according to the Constitution, according to their society, according to the Supreme Court ruling or whatever court ruling in that vicinity. That means a man marrying a man is right according to them. Or is that the truth? In the kingdom, we've not been called to live our life in the arena of, oh, this is right, this is wrong, who is right. I told you, we always look out for the righteousness of God, which is truth. Which is truth. Examples are everywhere in the Bible. Everywhere in the Bible. And when you don't understand, now, you know I'm talking to you about the Word of God. How that the Word of God is truth. And how that God speaks in absolutes. When God says, this and this shall be this, this and this, and this equals this, is absolute. There is no relativity of truth with God. You have to understand that. So when God said, you are the righteousness of God, that's an absolute statement. When He says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. That's an absolute statement. Absolute. When He said, this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that has the Son has the life. It's absolute. So every time we see a man get born again, we know that he receives something. It's called eternal life. Is somebody listening to me? God speaks in absolute. Never forget that. Glory to God. At the end of this verse, verse 8, and at the end of the portions we're reading, or we've been working on and studying, in the 8th verse he said, if these things be in you and abound, then make you, that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If these things be in you and abound, you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. That's an absolute statement. It means it's a cure to frustration. Glory to God. If these things be in you, and you see it again, inside out. Inside out. Trying and trying and trying to make things work on the outside is not the first step. Ensure things are working on the inside first. Is somebody listening to me? Ensure the internal environment has been conditioned to reflect what you want to see on the outside. Life operates by mirror principle. Is somebody listening to me? So the moment you condition and reprogram the internal environment to fit what you desire on the outside will begin to adjust to fit what is on the inside. And that is the concept of metamorphosis also. Amen. We talk about transformation from inside. I was doing a staff training seminar, talking about transformation from inside out. Powerful, powerful principle. Biology told us that before you see the butterfly, it goes through phase, right? There is the egg, there is the caterpillar. Is somebody listening to me? And there is the butterfly. Now the caterpillar is very ugly. In fact, when you look at a caterpillar, you cannot compare it with a butterfly. But newsflash, that beautiful butterfly came out of the ugly caterpillar. That beautiful thing that you see that is a symbol of beauty came out of something very ugly. What happened? Metamorphosis. The wings did not come from outside.
The beauty did not come from outside. Oh, is somebody here? The wings, the beauty, the colors were all the while inside the caterpillar. The caterpillar just needed to be transformed. The moment the transformation was completed on the inside, the wings shot out. The colors came out. They didn't come from outside. And we're told that that caterpillar face, more than 60% of all the food that the butterfly will eat in its lifetime is consumed as a caterpillar. Hey, yeah. Did you get the wisdom from there?
Yes.
That means when you desire to be a butterfly,
yes,
that next level is the step to it is eating. Voracious consumption. To change something on the inside. Yes, somebody listen to me. How could 60% of all the food in her lifetime be eaten as a caterpillar? Phase of consumption. Generating energy from within. Changing the pictures from within. Consuming the material required for the wings to come out. For the colors to come out. That means the key to your next level is within you. Real change is inside out. When you grow bigger than where you are now. Listen, the throne is for the king. It's not the king that is for the throne. That means the moment there is a king, you have to create a throne for it. So you don't create a throne looking for a king. Embassy of Heaven, are you here?
Yes, sir.
What that means is the moment you outgrow your present level on the inside, there has to be a change on the outside.
Yes, sir.
And it also means your major will outgrow your present level. Things will not change on the outside. Life will come to attend to your new level. Men come from the nations to attend to your new level. It's not important if you're in the school. It's not important. Don't say that once a man can preach a better sermon, make a better mousetrap. He said the whole world, even if he lives in the forest, the whole world will beat a new path to his doorstep.
Yes, sir.
We have a path, that path, there's no road, but they'll create a path to it. It's the way people receive. Are you aware? Are you aware? I like a talking church. Amen. I love a talking congregation. A responding rather. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right, go back there. Let's read Holy Spirit. For if these things be in you. No, verse 5. And beside this, all right, we're going to read together from verse 5 to verse 8. I'm hoping that will get you active and talking. All right, one, two, go. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Verse 8, for if these things be in you and abound, then make you, that it shall neither be buried nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I figured out something, that faith is never a standalone. That means faith by itself will never stand alone to produce results like you. And the Bible is consistent with what I just said. That means faith. I have faith for this. I've gotten a word from God for this, which is faith, and you believe it, you are talking it, you are acting it. That in itself will never stand alone to produce sustainable results. That's what I'm saying. Other things will come to support it. And that's the least of what he gave us. But before you even get that, do you know when you study the Bible, you see that faith is not a standalone. For example, we see that faith is energized by love. That means when God is talking to you, or when you are in faith about certain things, your love walk will be tested. Your love walk will be tested. And the moment you pass the love test, you see that your faith will produce crazy results. very crazy results. That is actually way beyond what you believe and you are confessing. Things happen and your mind is blown. Is somebody listening to me? Never forget this statement I just made. Faith is not a standalone. That means your faith will always work with something. One of it is love, according to scriptures. You know, there's a very interesting story that Bishop Keith Butler gave, my goodness. That's one, some of you have heard the story. That's one of, God is amazing. Listen, I've said this and I'm going to say it again. Whenever you are believing God for something really huge, look out for opportunities to show mercy. And give attention to passing your love test because it took up. Now, they were in a very small place. The God, a property. They were a young church. And they were going to pay for the property. The agreement was, okay, drop $20,000. And that was the time, drop the remaining $80,000 and take the stock. Now, it was so bad that the lease of where they were using was expiring. All right? So they were under pressure to leave. And they were $30,000 short of paying for that other place. Are you following me? Now, look at what happened. The agreement was such that if they didn't bring the $30,000 at the agreed time, they will lose what they have paid, even the $20,000 they have paid. Of course, that's a mortgage system for those of you that have studied, you understand? In the Western world. All right. That means if they didn't bring that $30,000, it was so funny enough, the property owners had also signed another agreement with another church. Because I didn't believe that this small church can meet the targets. And they were going to eat the whole money. Do you understand? In the middle of that, they were leaving this place. Their lease had expired. They were $30,000 short of paying. And do you know what $30,000 was in 1981? In 1981, that's a lot of money. If I had the equivalent, putting inflation in view, we're talking about over $100,000 currently. For a small church, a young pastor in his 20s, amen. Now, in the middle of that heat, the church was under intense pressure. His assistant pastor came and said he wants to start a church. That I'm going to start my own church. I'm breaking out now. He said, okay, all right, I don't have a problem with this starting your church, but can we just go through this phase? Number two, this assistant pastor was older than him, so he moved with the part of the church that had money to even give. Glory to God, because there was older, more mature, so those ones followed him. Is some of the following. And you know what that can do to a pastor? You're having pressure and you're receiving under pressure from somewhere. Can't you wait? The guy said, no, he can't wait. I have to go now. I have to go now. And here's where I'm going. He was broken. And the Lord spoke to him. He said, well, this is what I'm going to do. Next service, raise an offering for this pastor. And bless him in church. He said, Lord, you are going too far. He said, he didn't know when he said it. He didn't know when he came. He said, Lord, you are going too far. You are going too far. Remember, I'm telling you that the moment you are releasing your faith for something big, there will be seasons of mercy. Seasons where your love walk will be tested. Is some of the following. Seasons when your love walk will be tested. Bam, raise him an offering. Pray for him in church and then give him the offering. So the remaining part that were left in his church, he said, well, those people have left, you are aware of it, the Lord said to raise an offering for his new work. They are trying to raise $30,000 that they don't have. Do you understand? And very funny enough, he said that was, in those days, that was like the highest offering they ever had. So he said he carried the check in his pocket and then went to meet this man. Hey, bro. He said, honestly, in his mind, he was thinking the guy, no, God told him, raise an offering, give him the money and give him a hug and tell him, I love you. So he took the offering, carried the check. He went, he said, I was talking to him. He, in his heart, he was thinking, he was going to say, oh, bro, I'm so sorry and all that, I was wrong. He said, that was what he was expecting. And bro, I said, okay, no problem, just take the body. He said, as he was stretching the envelope, the guy grabbed it, he said, thank you, and put it in his pocket. And told him he could go. And the rest told him, you have not completed what I told you. You have not given him the hug and tell him I love you. Well, he gave him a hug and said I love you. And left. Yes, with his fist. Glory to God. Now, look at what happened. The day of the deadline. A man, he said he has seen a guy come to church like 3 times. It was a small church, so of course you can see faces. He has seen a guy come to church, a lawyer, who was a senior partner in a chamber downtown, as it was a Christian chamber and all that. And then he came to him. He said he was coming. They said someone in there to see him. He said he doesn't have time for counseling right now. He said, which counseling? When they have... Well, they said he's not counseling. He insists he wants to see you. I said, no problem. Let him in. He came in, and then he came in with a black book. He was still looking at it. He dropped it. It was the checkbook. I told him, he said, Pastor, the Lord told me to give you anything you ask from this check. To sign any amount of money. He said, the Lord spoke to me. The Lord spoke, real life. I have the message. He said, the Lord spoke to me. Awesome. He said, the Lord spoke to me to meet you and give you whatever money you need right now. The guy has not been in church, so he just came in like 3 times, so he doesn't even know what's happened. He said, what I need? He looked at him. He said, are you sure what you're saying? Do you know what I need? He said, yes, anything, whatever you need. Whatever you need. He said, bro, I need $30,000. Do you know what I mean? He said, no problem. He signed $30,000 and gave to him. When he left, he called his bank. He said, this person just gave me a check. Are you sure there's that kind of money? The bank told him, he said, well, we are not in position to disclose what he has. But we assure you, whatever he gave you, he has it. And then that same day, the deal was sealed. Amen. And they got the property. And within a short time, the church grew to 3,000 people. Within a very short time. What am I telling you? There will always be... I'm tempted to say something. Let me tell you something. Those of you that are pastors, the people that will come to your church, they have a lot to do with how you treated the people that left. Glory to God. Is somebody listening to me? Seasons of law. I've seen it work. Seasons to show mercy. Don't always try to explain why this person did it. It's not your business. Your job, love me. Bless you. Are you following me? So faith doesn't stand alone. That's what I'm saying. The Bible says love is the energy of faith. King James put it this way. He said, faith which worketh by love. The greatest energy of your faith is love. That's the greatest energy that your faith will ever have. The understanding of God's love for you and your love walk towards others. How you walk in love toward other believers, other people. Hallelujah. Love is supposed to be the last we'll talk about, but I just wanted to paint a picture that, look, faith is never a stand alone. If you read over in Hebrews 6 verse 12, it told us about how we should not be slaughtered, but followers of those who through faith and patience inherited the promise. So you see that faith is not a stand alone. There are things that supplement faith. There are things that supplement faith. Timothy talked about holding faith and a good conscience. And last week we talked about the good conscience being co-perception of the Spirit. There are things that stand with faith. It's not, I've seen it from the Word. God has said you do it. Get to God's word. And that's what we're talking about. What are the things you add to your faith? Giving all diligence. Now, if you're not around last week and 2 weeks ago, get the materials. We said very serious things on the concept of faith. Is that okay? Get them. I'll not have time to go into all that today. But serious stuff. Is somebody getting blessed? Are you learning something? We said serious stuff on the concept of faith. Faith concept. So, get the materials. It says, giving all diligence. All diligence. All diligence. So diligence is part of it. In fact, we have to start from there. Diligence is part of it. Growing your faith to walk requires diligence. And what's diligence? I figured out that both in the Old and in the New Testament, diligence has to do with 2 things. Number 1, haste. Number 2, earnestness. Number one, haste or quickness. And then number two, earnestness. It means to be diligent means to be earnest in pursuit of a thing, to be earnest in accomplishing a thing, to be quick and earnest in getting something done. And then it also means to be quick and earnest in striving to attain something. That means diligence and slowness don't go together. Okay, somebody listen to me. Also in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for diligence also means to be quick. To be quick. To be quick. That's how you hear people use the word be sharp. Be sharp is another word for diligence. That your heart is in something is good. It's part of diligence. But that's not all. How quick you get things done is one of the definitions of diligence. I'm going to read this book. You cannot sit on it for 1 month. I want to listen to this. I want to... No. You know that you know that you know that these 5 messages you collected is connected to your next level. But 1 month has passed, you have not listened to them. That's not diligence. That's not diligence. It says to be quick, to be in haste, to be earnest. That means to be deeply involved with that thing. To be deeply involved in that thing. That's diligence. That's diligence. You have been taught on the source of faith, which is the word of God. It takes diligence to get the word in your heart. It takes diligence to get the word in your spirit. It takes diligence to be a person of the word. It takes diligence. It takes that quickness, that haste, that earnestness. Meaning, you have to learn to be a quick person. You have to learn to act quick. After sorting out what is important, what is unimportant. In time, I know we'll talk about urgent and important. Urgent, not important. Not urgent, not important. Amen. And all that. Once you understand your priority, earnestness and quickness is very important. Is somebody listening to me? You can have things to deal with. You know you have issues to deal with. Things you need to clear off. And then you are collecting a series to come and sit down and watch. That is not diligence. That is not... Is somebody listening to me? Things have been happening funny in your finances, in your health, in your job, in what you do. And I say, oh, God will act. God will act. But somewhere you are... You know... The reason why, one of the reasons why most Christians fail is they don't get feedbacks from the Spirit. Listen, as a child of God, you always have feedbacks from the Spirit. And that comes through the voice of your conscience. You know that I'm not supposed to be doing this, or I'm supposed to be doing this. There. Heed it quickly. Do you understand? Heed it quickly. You can have issues to deal with, things to sort out, and then sit down and carry series, 12 episodes. And then you sit there watching Desperate Housewives. You'll soon be desperate. Is somebody listening to me? Earnestness. It's a giving all what? Diligence. Being quick. Being quick. At least you did your part, even when there's no manifestation yet. Being quick to respond. Being quick. Quick and earnest. Quick and earnest. So diligence must be added to your faith. You cannot be slow. No. You learn to review yourself and tell yourself, I'm not fast enough. I need to be faster than this. One of the things I admire in leaders is speed, fastness. Speed in getting things done. That is, speed in getting, I admire it a lot. It's one of the indicators of discipline, of self-discipline. There are things when, where, or with which, if there's procrastination, they don't really count. But there are other things, when we find procrastination around you, we know you are an unserious person. And it's not for your future. You can't. It doesn't fall on the list where you can try procrastination. If somebody listen to me, it doesn't fall on the list. Hallelujah. Giving all diligence. It takes diligence to get the word of God into your heart. Believe me. I've told you again and again that what you get in church is what? Snacks. Is what?
Snacks.
Is what?
Snacks.
No matter how worded I am, how mighty the presence of God hits this place, what you get in church is like snack. Snack, appetizer, whatever you call it. It's going to take a personal sitting down with the word. Personal interaction with God's word. Through recorded materials, books, the Bible, to birth giant faith in your heart. Can I get an amen? And that takes diligence. Sometimes you sit down for hours. For some Christians, they think it's only pastors that should do that. No, that's what we've been saying. Not just pastors. Your destiny is important. Both to God and to the devil. You don't know? I don't care what God has called you to do. That destiny is important to the devil. Glory to God. So you sit down, making investment into your spirit. It takes diligence. At the beginning, those distractions are there. You know, your body follows training. If you have not really trained, you also sit down 1 or 2 hours, you are itching, you want to see Facebook, you want to see Instagram, you want to touch, you want to talk to somebody. Listen, must you talk to someone? You want to talk to somebody, you want to... You understand those distractions? You want to watch something quickly? You want to do this? You want to stretch? No. Diligence. Earnestness. You will learn to sit for 3 hours at a stretch. Listening to God's word. Writing. Meditating. Pausing the message. Looking at the scriptures and meditating. There is no other way. Except you want to go and join cult to give you money. And they work for your soul. Do you understand? Or the other option is to be very small. And there's no blessing there. But if you want to be big and live to the fullness of God's calling for your life as a person, adding diligence, giving all diligence, you add to your faith. You add to your faith. Hallelujah. Praise God. Stamina. And also what? Moral excellence. All right. We said virtue means stamina. So you add to your faith stamina. Meaning when there's no change as yet, what do? Stamina. Stamina. The Bible says as endure hardness. As good soldiers of Christ. Endure hardness. Why is this important? Listen, at the beginning of putting your faith to work, as a Christian, taking a stand for God is painful on your flesh. Are you aware? Very painful on your flesh. But you learn to take your stand. Especially for those of you that have other cheap alternatives. You will learn to take your stand. You will feel the headache, declare God's word on it, and wait. And keep declaring with pain there. You don't run to go and take Panadol. That's virtue. You have spoken God's word, so you believe that that word should work. When will the word of God start working for me? Then you take a stand. Stamina. Do you understand? I told you I have prayed for 5 hours with toothache. Shabalarabba. Leprosy gasush de puraba de ledebosa. You know what toothache is? Serious words. Not many have experienced it. What you have is not so nice, amen. And then pissing and praying. That's adding to my faith virtue. And I'm a doctor, I know exactly what to do. I know exactly which drugs to combine to give me temporary relief. But I was determined to kill that pain. Are you listening to me? And listen, it's just like a soldier. When you pass a test, when you go to war and perform some feats, your rank increases. It's the same thing in the realm of the spirit. When you put your faith to work to do certain things that take you stamina, and then you maintain your stand, your rank in the spirit increases. Oh, is somebody here? Is this church door this morning? I'll leave or I'll go to my office. I don't like it in church. Are you guys here? Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Virtue. Virtue. Stamina. Stand.
I would say it also means moral excellence. What is excellence? Excellence is doing the best with what you have. Excellence is doing something usual in an unusual way. That's what excellence is. And then there it adds moral excellence. It means to be on point. It also means to be detailed. It means giving it your best shot the first time. That's what excellence is. So you say, add to your faith excellence. Now you can see that there is faith, you can add excellence. How excellent are you in personal life, in the things that you do? He said it's part of the equation of faith. It's part of the equation of faith. Moral excellence, virtue. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Should I stand you to pray you for the next 30 minutes? Please respond. Is that okay? If I'm your pastor, you should play it according to my. Is that okay? Respond. Is that okay? You're looking at me like that. Respond. Is that okay?
Yes,
in this church, you respond. Is that okay?
Yes,
your mouth should not be heavy. Is that okay?
Yes,
please let me feel myself. Is that okay? So, moral excellence. Excellence. You get it right the first time. You do best way possible. Hallelujah. Alright, said, and to virtue, what? Knowledge. I have to rush them so that we can finish most of it today. And then next week, we wrap it up and release the spirit of faith. There will be impartation of the spirit of faith next week. Hallelujah. Impartation of the spirit of faith. Eh? So you come with your expectation, what you are directing your faith on in this season. And then something will jump on you and then you go and do it. You go and do it. You know, when I told you the story of Kid Butler, the testimony I just shared with you, Bishop Kid Butler. What of Faith Christian Center also. You know, when I was hearing that message, something came to mind. He was such a young man. And doing that at that point, it had to be an impartation. He just came from Rema. Amen. So, that was an impartation. No young boy, he was like 25 now. You can't do that. I just smiled and said, that's an impartation, the spirit of faith. He had hung around Kenneth Hagin as a young man. You know, he said something about staying to the assignment. This is just a digression, but I know you bless someone. He was saying something about sticking to your assignments. And he said something about Kenneth Hagin that touched me. Hi. He said a lot of people were even saying funny things about Kenneth Hagin that probably he's talking faith and faith because that's the only part of the Bible he knows. So he laughed. He laughed. He was talking about, you see, obeying God has to do with sticking with God, what God has told you to do.
Yes,
he said, as far as this concerned, Kenneth Hagin knows the Bible more than most people, more than most preachers on earth. And it's the truth. And I totally agree with him. Yet, he stayed on his lane of teaching faith. That's number one. Number two, one of the greatest prophets.
Yes,
no, he even said it. He said, Kenneth Hagin was a prophet to the call. Was a pro, and I knew what he was talking about. For me, he was a major CR prophet of the 20th century.
Yes,
he gave so much attention to teaching faith because that was what God told him to do. He didn't open prophetic ministry. Regardless of his giftings, he stuck to what God told him to do. Because only God knows what he's going to do, what he has told you to do. So the discipline to stay in the lane. Not because he doesn't know. You know, I'm trying to say this. We have some of you that think because the pastor is not saying some things, doesn't mean he doesn't know it. That's what some people think. Because it's not things of there's this thing I watch on TV. There's this dance of revelation. Pastor has never talked about it. It doesn't mean he doesn't know it. A pastor has to choose. Am I here to impress the people or to build the people? And when you are building the people, you walk by the blueprint of the Spirit. Are you listening? You walk by the blueprint of the Spirit. You don't watch TV here, carry this one, preach. Listen to this message, carry this one, preach. Do this one. No. No. That really blessed me. So you see, Kenneth Hagin talk about faith. Faith, the word of God. Faith, love. Everything that's connected to faith and love. Consistently for over 50 years. And he knew, oh my goodness. No, you know what it means for a man to see Jesus 6 times? That's the one he told us. The one he had the permission to share. Most of the things we have as accepted ideologies today in the body of Christ, they were products of what he said from his visitation with Jesus. So you're talking about encounters. Kenneth Hagin knew the name of his angels. Amen. But he never blew those things out of proportion. There were things he insisted on. Listen, if you're a minister here, a minister of the gospel here, go and get every Kenneth Hagin's book you can get and go and read it. Is that okay? You will have some balance. You can build on from there, but it will give you balance. It will give you balance. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, out of virtue, knowledge. I'm saying the knowledge is scientific knowledge. Relevant natural knowledge. Oh, so we can add natural knowledge to faith? Yes. Yes. He's saying it's a supplement of faith. It's a faith booster. Meaning God has called me. He said through medicine. I'm a medical doctor through medicine. He's going to make known his power. He's going to touch people around the world. He's going to give me a voice in the world. And I don't know my medicine books. My faith to be incomplete. Are you listening? That's what it's out of faith, not out of virtue. Knowledge is gnosis. It means natural knowledge. Scientific knowledge. Meaning, what is the scope in the natural of that field that I've been sent to? What is the scope of knowledge? And how much do I know? So I order for journals. I read the best of brains in that field. It's part of equipping my faith for productivity. Is somebody listening to me? He said, God has called me to real estate. I have not read any book on real estate. You are a joker. Your faith cannot produce. Your faith cannot produce. The way it ought to. God has called me to the fashion world. How much study have you done? And you listen, I told you before, you are a barber. How much do you know about barbing? You say, I'm skilled at the barbing. No. Go and search for knowledge. What is the history of the clipper? Are you listening? That's the word. You must be academic about your trade. Do you hear what I said? Whether it's a handwork, you must be academic about your trade. That's what he's saying. What do you know about barbing? What do you know about hair styling? Where did it start from? What do you know historically? What do you know in the contemporary times? Who are the 10 top names in that field? What do they do? How did they start their business? You must know it. That's what he's saying, knowledge. See, if you act on what I've told you, some of you in the next 5-10 years, you build me a house and say, Pastor, thank you for this service. You'll be grateful. Listen and act on it. Are you listening? Don't sit like that, like you're not hearing me. Listen, act on it. Act to virtue knowledge. Knowledge. Don't be dumb about what you do. Don't be ignorant about what you do. Be academic about your trade. Whatever field God has called you to function, tell yourself, I'll be among the top 10% globally. And then write it down as a vision statement. I must be among the top. If you're a marketer, are you listening? A doctor, a media person, Are you listening? An administrator, whatever you do, a barber, a hairstylist, a fashion designer, a sports person, whatever your field, write it down. I must be among the top 10% globally. A preacher included. Only children do things for doing it sake. Adults do things because of the things they are supposed to get out, the things that are supposed to be done without it. Do you understand? You become intentional when you grow up. Knowledge. If it's not your field, get out of there. I studied medicine in school. But I knew that was in my place. I'll sit there, except I'm counseling, I'll almost be feeling depressed. So what kind of thing is this? I'm supposed to be a doctor. I'll just feel miserable. And I get excited when I'm talking to people and I'm counseling them, I'm laying hands on them. Even in the office, in consulting room. Everything that gives you joy is the counseling, the ministrations of the spirit, the laying on of hands in doctor's consulting room. Is that not saying something to me? I would have been miserable as a doctor. I liked it too. I liked the stuff and the vodka. It did not click. I had to go and see God's face. Listen, as a student towards my final year, I did not have a practicing doctor as a mentor. The light did not impress me. I knew something was wrong. No. I knew I was bothered. I knew something was wrong. I have wonderful teachers, wonderful doctors, wonderful. How come none of them is impressing me? I was not impressed. No one is. And then the people that inspired me were people on the pulpit. I knew there was something. When I see somebody preaching, I listen to Kenneth Hagin, watch, read Dag Yard Mills, preach. The inspiration was something else. Dr. Paul Enenche, the inspiration was something else. I just knew, Kai, this is my place. You understand? I just knew this is my place. No emotional attachment anymore. You know, sometimes when you've given your attention to something for so long, you have to break the emotional attachment. And for some of you, be careful about prestige trap. You know what's called prestige trap? Professional prestige trap. You know law, you cannot be a lawyer. But you say, no, it's my childhood dream to be a lawyer. And this law, you know, is not this law. It's something else. You will suffer. We call it prestige trap. Just like, she's a practicing lawyer. I'm talking to a female here. She's a practicing lawyer. She's a practicing lawyer. And that's prestige trap. Don't be caught there. That's how some people have spent 20 years now trying to be neurosurgeons. Is it by force?
No.
We call it prestige trap. I'm a neurosurgeon. But that's bright self. Listen, what you love to do is what you love to do. Do you understand? It just flows, whether they attach title, whether they introduce you or not. You just do it and your result is speaking for you. Can I get an amen? So find where you are planted and obtain knowledge. If you engage me in ministry knowledge, because that's my area. I have to be knowledgeable. I have to know all the revivals that have happened in the world from the early church till now. I know them. Do you understand? Including the ones that people have not written about. Yes. And there are no books about them. Do you understand? The people that shook their generation still now. I have to know them. Add to virtues. Knowledge. I have to understand leadership. How is the church run? How do you lead people? How do you organize outreaches? Do you understand? Knowledge. You cannot be blank in the area you are supposed to be functioning in. Don't say, Pastor, you are not talking to me. I'm still in school. Something is wrong with you. Something is wrong with you. Out of virtue knowledge. So don't be proud of the fact that you don't know anything about the field you are working. So I did this here. I don't just know. No, don't be like that. So what do you want to know? What do you want to know? He said, God has called me to be foundation, NGO. So what research have you done? What research? What research? What do you know about non-governmental organizations? You have to be detailed in the research. Whereby it will wake you out of sleep by reflex. We can write 1,000 pages from the information you give us. About NGOs. Life is serious, so don't be sleeping and be watching movie and waking up. Eh? And go to work and come back. You'll be an average person. You'll be too average. And your children will ask you, Mommy, why are you like this? Is somebody listening to me? I said, Mommy, you mean you are listening to Dr. Caris as a young person and you are still like this? What am I saying? What you are hearing now is implicating you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Don't live a normal life.
Yes,
sir. Detailed knowledge. I said, you have to be academic about your trade. Write it down. Trade, it could be handwork, it could be clothes you are selling. You have to be academic about it. You may be selling shoes, you have to be academic about it. Academic about how it is done. Academic about how it is marketed. Academic as to the history of what you do. Glory to God. Is somebody learning something? This is the generation to take the world. We are the ones. Amen. And we have to be well positioned. And that's why God is revealing these things to us. I was amazed with the first time I saw it that he's not talking about revelation knowledge. The Greek word for revelation knowledge is ginosko. This one is gnosis. From where they got prognosis from. Diagnosis from. It's scientific. It's natural knowledge. Knowledge from observation. Knowledge from research. In an environment, we don't give attention to research. So if a pastor is in the city, he doesn't know the population of the city. He doesn't know how many people go to church and how many people don't go to church. He thinks it's not important. He thinks he's just fasting and praying. The revival will break out. Nothing scientific. Is somebody listening to me? You must know the population of the city. How many people go to church? How many people don't? So that you know the people you are reaching. What is the demography across the world? You must know. Is somebody listening to me? You must read the research that others have done. Listen, if you are going to be a leader, if you're a leader here, whatever field, and I believe I'm talking to leaders, everybody here is a potential leader. Data must be important to you. Data and statistics must be important to you. I must know how to calculate them. Don't say I don't like maths. Do you hear what I said? At least understand percentage. Understand percentage. Do you understand? When I said we just have about 35% of the whole this, you should understand what we are talking about. What is 35%? Glory to God. I might challenge you this morning. That's what this part of the teaching is about. To challenge you. To challenge you. To challenge you. Make your brain sweat. Make your brain sweat. Make your brain sweat. It will pay. You know, we're meeting with Konemoyo in February, and he said between January and February, he has read almost 100 books already. We're all quiet. In 2 months, almost 100 books. He will sit down. He's on the field now, as in he's on the field too. So, you have to understand his schedule too. He doesn't pass through a church, and he's on the field, and he's an officer. Amen. But not with that's commendable. That means it's converting his time.
Yes.
Converting his time. We're quiet. So when he talks, knowledge comes out. Knowledge. Knowledge. It's just knowledge of nothing irrelevant is coming out of his mouth. Nothing irrelevant. Nothing irrelevant. Do you understand? Nothing irrelevant is coming out of his mouth. Nothing. Everything is coming out of his mouth. You write and say, okay, we have to get the tape. This is too fast. Are you listening? And that includes all. Let me tell you. The concept of sound mind. I've shared with you sophronismus. He said, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of sophronismus. Sophronismus means the sounding of your intellect. And it connotes the fact. See, that's why most scientific discoveries came from Christians. Yeah. But they were scientific.
Yeah.
They were not spiritual knowledge. The person who wrote the highest number of books in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, they went to school. There were people who read.
Yeah.
Moses and Paul. It's not an accident. It's not an accident. Are you listening? It's not an accident. It's not an accident. They were academic people. Moses went to school in Egypt.
Yeah.
Academic. Paul went to school under Gamaliel. Academic. Academic. Meaning, that's the raw material that the Spirit of God will blow. That's what they say. Sophronismus. 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 So the Spirit of God could talk to them to relate with us. Why their minds have been aligned in such a way. You can't throw away books. Do you understand? And information, relevant information to your faith. In the name of spirituality, you can't do that. And those of you that were in leaders' meeting on Sunday, we're talking about self-government. Can you remember?
Yes,
self-government.
Yes.
The last part of self-government, what is the self-management? Ability to manage yourself. Ability to stand in front of the mirror and advise yourself and slap yourself if you need to be and tell yourself the truth. And I told you that if you can't tell yourself the truth, you should be beaten. You can't stand in front of the mirror and tell yourself, boy, guy, you are sleeping too much. Guy, you are not reading, no. Guy, you are not praying, no. Babe, you are misbehaving. Stand in front of the mirror and talk to yourself. Self-government, self-management. Are you listening to me? You just say, guy, there's more you need to know that I don't know yet. When you're playing around, go and sit down. You are seeing yourself in the mirror and talking to yourself. And talking to yourself. Out of virtue, knowledge. Out of virtue, knowledge. Out of virtue, knowledge. Out of virtue, knowledge. Very important. And it is important what you communicate to your children too. If you put bigger TV and no books, you are telling them something. Big TV. They can't run into books as they are running across the house. You know what we call running into books? There are shelves of books. I grew up seeing boxes of books in my house. Boxes. Do you understand? There may be novels. There may not even be principal Christian. But that culture is important. And thank God we're in the days of internet. You must know what the internet is for. It's not for watching jokes and watching comedy online. You do that with your tired self, I've told you. When you're tired, you see those things and sleep off. Or while you sleep, but not the prime time of the day. No, it's unacceptable. You convert your prime time to knowledge. You convert your prime time to knowledge and wisdom. Is that okay? Getting relevant information. Natural information, but relevant. Spiritual information, but relevant. Glory to God. You can't be a pastor and not know the laws of church growth. What are the laws of church growth? You can't be. In fact, as a cell leader, as a group leader, you should know the laws of church growth. As a fellowship leader. Listen, if you truly love God, you must be growth oriented. So how do things grow? How do people grow? What are the laws of revival? In this my campus, in this my school, in this city. What do I keep pushing consistently? To bust the city. To bust the school. Do you understand? What are the natural things to do? What are the spiritual things? Those of you that were in school or ministry, we'll talk about the church. The natural laws of church growth. The spiritual laws of growth. And you see, the talk was intelligent and scientific. We talk about Ruth's Law. Who remember Ruth's Law? Who was the school of music? Remember Ruth's Law? We said no church can grow beyond times 5 of its effective leadership base without undergoing entropy. And an entropy, membership gain equals membership loss. Therefore, accumulation is what? 0. That's scientific. Is somebody listening to me? Scientific. Hallelujah. I could stay on this knowledge for 3 Sundays. You know, there is what white people used to say, that if you want to hide anything from a black man, keep it where? No, I want to hear you. If you want to hide anything from a black man, keep it where? Inside the book. Do you want that true for you? But some of you are already living like that. No passion for knowledge. No passion. I'm not talking about school, you know. What I'm talking about is not schooling. I'm talking about self-education. Yes, sir. Have passion. Don't let that talk be true. Don't let it be true. Bible says in him was life. And the life was the light of men. The life was the civilization of men. So we are the custodians of the civilization of our generation. We are the custodian of the civilization. We are. That's what we call the law of continuous development. That means what you think you know now, you don't know much yet. There's more you have not known. So you sit down more. Is somebody listening to me? You sit down and learn more. Glory to God. Should we leave knowledge alone now? What are the sources of information? How do you source information? Okay. Reading, hearing, seeing. You must activate your power of observation. Solomon said, I passed by the field of the sluggard. It was overgrown with thorns, with weeds. He said, then I observed it. I considered it. The power of observation. He said, then wisdom came to me. That a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. He said, so shall poverty come like an announcement. But here is the point. He did not just pass, he considered it. No, there were men you knew had money before. Suddenly they are looking for money. Don't just say, oh, evil word. No, consider it. What decisions did they make wrong? Don't just say evil word. No, consider. Observation. 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 A group of people start ministry at the same time. 10 years has gone. Some have made so much progress. Others are anointed, equally anointed. They are not making progress. Don't just say it's their time. No, observe. What are the things they have taken for granted that others took seriously? Don't just say it's time. You know, people are willing to say it's their time. Listen, time should not be more than 4 years. I've told you before. When you say it's not yet, according to the Bible, that's between 3 and 4 years. If somebody has not broken forth in 3-4 years, no problem. It could be time. But after 3-4 years, something is wrong. There's a knowledge you have not got. I can prove it from scriptures. You are ministry pastor, you start with 10, 15, 20 people. After 3-4 years, there has to be a boost. At least to 1,700. Do you understand? Aside that, there is a deficiency of knowledge. Don't say it's time. Are you listening? Don't just say, is there time? No. Yeah, God gives time for learning, for breaking. But there has to be a level of boast. Things cannot be as they were in the beginning. You run the store 2 years, 3 years. Okay, you moved out. You are using a place. There's no money to pay for the place. You move back to the sitting room or move back to the garage. It's not time. There's a deficiency of knowledge. There's a deficiency. And except you're a proud person, if you are not proud, you will go humbly and look for the knowledge. Observation. He said, I pass by, I considered it. I considered it. Why? Because some people take off in this business. They just took off. And others are struggling. Why? Don't just say it's time. Don't just say it's time. Or worse still, look. That's terrible reasoning. Worse still, look. Is somebody following me? Is somebody learning something? Man of God would say that there are no mountains anywhere. Every man's ignorance is his mountain. What do I need to know now? No, we are pressing for a 1,000 member and for a citywide revival in a very strange way. And we are studying, we are praying, we are learning, we are asking questions. Why are there no big churches in Jos that started in Jos? Why? Why? You ask questions. Not just assume, not make general statement, no. Scientific, you approach, amen. You know, sometimes when we say scientific, knowledge, reasoning, some people think we are going off spirituality, we are going off the grace of God. We are going off the moves of the Spirit. Oh boy, relax. There's more you don't know. Yeah, when you say scientific, some people think it's microscope. Because science, to them, science is that biology in school that they could not do. That's not science, so I won't go into all that today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, I'll handle the next one and we'll close church. I just have 5 minutes left. Next verse is, add to knowledge temperance. Temperance. What is temperance? What's temperance? That's the next thing, right? And to knowledge temperance. What's temperance? Self-control. Self-restraint. What other word? Self-government. What else? Ability to hold back. Thank you. Holding yourself in. Add to your faith temperance. Temperance simply means discipline. George Washington says, discipline is the soul of an army. It makes small number formidable. It procures victory, is it to the few and esteem to all. Discipline. Self-leadership. Ability to hold back in your words, in your appetite. I gave you seven areas. Your word, that's your tongue control, controlling your emotions, controlling your desire, controlling your time, controlling your resources. At least them for you can go and get the material. Control, holding yourself in. You tell yourself, I must not sleep now. I must not eat that food now. Must it be now? Hold yourself in. And I told you that you must always learn to let God's light shine on different areas of your life. Is that okay? No matter how high you have gone, at every season, let the word of God shine. Let the light of God's word shine on different areas that you need adjustment. Because you, where you are now, you need adjustment. In the area of self-control, everybody here, including me. Do you understand? So you let God's light shine and then make the adjustment. You may be eating one kind of food too much. That's not good for your health. Exercise self-restraint. Do you understand? When we say discipline, some people just think it's not lying, not fornicating, not stealing. That's why I gave you different areas. Some of you is discipline with your mouth. The way you talk. Some discipline with different areas. Some discipline with your desire system. Every time you get an alert, your body is boiling, you must go to a boutique. Temperance. Temperance. Do you understand? What is he saying? You add it to your faith for it to be effective. Do you understand? So let the light of God shine. You tell yourself, I need discipline in this area. And work at it. Some of you is just sexuality. That you need to exercise temperance. Discipline. Self-restraint. You know, if you go to certain places, you mess up. So you exercise self-restraint. And don't do like it cannot be done. It can be done. I was talking to worship team. I told them, nobody has monopoly of testosterone. They were laughing. Self-restraint. Are you listening to me? Self-restraint. Self-restraint. And like I said on Tuesday also, don't give any excuse for excesses in your life. Do you understand? Anything you know, this is an excess. This is something I need to control urgently. Don't make an excuse for it. Release God's fire upon it. Don't give excuse. You understand? Don't give excuse. Don't give excuse. Pastor, me, I cannot control myself. I started having sex when I was 5. So I can't. Don't. You know, people say those things. They do. Stop it. Oh, I was abused. For some, it was an abuse. Amen. Am I talking to you? Yes, don't never give an reason. Some, it maybe the way they do their tongue, use their hands, they pick things that don't belong to them and say, oh, I didn't grow up with my parents. We're suffering where we were. So we have to pick things that don't belong. Do you understand? Listen. You can listen to me. You can always use the word of God to control. Why are we saying this? The Bible says it's going to help your faith walk. It's going to help your faith walk. Self-restraint. 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 Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. And add to temperance what? What's the next thing? Patience, amen. And I'm out of time, amen. Rise to your feet. Glory! Glory! Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Don't lift your hands. Rise to your feet quickly. Lift your hands and appreciate the Lord for His word. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lift your hands and appreciate the Lord. Thank you for the word you have received. And I want you to use your mouth. I want you to pray right now. Amen. We have 3 minutes left on the message time. I want you to pray. And say, Lord, pray the things you have heard. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm adding to my diligence. I'm a diligent person. You confess those things. I love knowledge. I go after knowledge in the name of the Lord Jesus. Virtue, moral excellence, stamina in the name of the Lord Jesus.
You have just listened to Pastor Erasmus Amewell. the senior pastor of the Embassy of Heaven. For more messages and information, log on to our website, www.theembassyofheaven.org. Stay blessed.